When you're dating, absolutely, compatibility is 100% important. When you're married, that goes out the window.
We go through life expecting people to move like we move. We learn that's not working. It's not working at all.
You can't get your partner what they need when you don't even know what you need.
What you need.
The right situation, the right dynamics, you will find yourself doing something that you thought you would never ever do.
Yeah. What do people need to be doing before they go get married?
It has to work or it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis. And today we got another special episode. But today we're going to focus on relationships, right? And I think it's so important that, one, you can't become great without building great relationships. I truly believe. But we're going to focus on couples, marriage, non-marriage. And I wanted to bring on people that personally coached me and my wife, right? Shannon and Shirley Austin. How y'all feeling?
What's up, man? Hey, man.
Thank y'all for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us, bro.
Yeah, how's everything going? So I wanted to do this episode, right, bring y'all on the show, because I personally feel like everybody got something going on with their relationship, whether good, bad, and it always can be improved. And I also feel like there's so many things people don't know about relationships. Like for me, I've been with my wife a long time, 13, 14 years, been married. I think we're 4 years, maybe. Yeah, I'm not good with dates.
But you grew with numbers, but not with dates.
Yeah. I say all that to say it was so many things I didn't know before bring y'all in to coach us and to help us in various areas. And one simple thing that is simple, but it may not be simple, is simply I just learned what love languages was. I've never in 12 plus, how long y'all been working? How long, when we started working together? A couple of years ago?
About three years ago.
Been 3 years?
About that.
No way.
Yeah.
Time is moving.
Time, exactly.
Yes, it's not stopping.
It's not stopping.
So, okay. So
you didn't have a whole baby and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
A couple, probably. Gee. So, but I didn't know about, you know, when we started, hey, you got to take this assessment. I'm like, well, we got to do all of this stuff for it. Right. It's not necessary, right?
Right?
In my mind at the
right.
time.
Right.
And I've learned what a love language is. I always tell the story. I bought my wife a Lambo truck and we rented out this huge stadium and put the car in the box and all this cool stuff and opened it. And that it was nice, but it didn't mean as much as when she walked in the stadium, around the stadium, it was saying 9 things I love about you. She was crying.
Oh, wow.
That was the thing that was memorable probably most to her than the actual vehicle. But that's when you learn that gifts isn't really her. She'll take a gift, but it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So I've learned that about love language. So I want you to touch on love language, and I want you to touch on, I guess, compatibility. Like you told me about the DIS assessment. Like I think I'm a DI or whatever.
ID or DI blend.
DI blend or something. My wife is the opposite.
Right.
And I believe you said those normally don't work together.
Yeah, so. They don't.
Yeah. So I want to talk through all, re-educate me, because it's been a while, evidently. But then I think it'll really help people understand, like, oh, I see why that makes sense. Because sometimes I'm like, yo, why don't you get this? It ain't in your makeup to get it, because that ain't, it ain't
how you're wired.
Right. Yeah, so let's talk about it.
Right. That's it's so interesting. It's like expecting, so I have a Dodge Durango RT, right? One of the vehicles you own is a Lambo truck.
Yeah.
If I went out there,
your wife, right?
If I went out there trying to drive that, my truck, like your truck, and I'm like, why ain't it doing what you was? Well, I'm not getting the same kind, you know, the attention, the same, it roars different, it looks different, it moves, it handles different.
Yeah.
So we go through life expecting people to move like we move. And that we've learned over, gosh, how many years of just us trying to get to know each other. And then once we started coaching couples, we learned that's not working. It's not working at all. And the beauty of the DISC assessment, so the DISC assessment is breaking down human behavior in 4 different quadrants. Right. The beauty of that is whatever quadrant you fall in, how you're wired is irrelevant when dealing with other human beings.
Yeah.
It is your ability to be aware of how your partner is wired and then deal with them based on that wiring, right? So you deal with them. I deal with Shirley through who I am, but based on who she is. So I'm not trying to change who I am. I don't want to be different. I want to show up in the world like Shannon. But I have to consider her at a high level if I'm going to be dealing with her on a day-to-day basis, right? So yeah, go ahead, babe. I saw you.
No, I was saying that's why it speaks right to when you talked about compatibility. When you're dating, absolutely, compatibility is 100% important. When you're married, that goes out the window. There is no such thing as compatibility. Now we have to get in the mindset of saying, who is my spouse? And how do I create the environment that lets them know, I see you, I get you, I appreciate you, I understand you, who you are is okay. Period.
Yeah.
Not me trying to change you for you to be compatible to the expectations that I have of marriage and of you.
That's good.
Right?
You're talking good stuff early, baby.
So many challenges.
Yes.
Because we have these little girl expectations, right? We're not mature in our expectations. And
what do you mean by that?
Because, so when I, as women, we're growing up with dolls. Right. So we're growing up with the mindset of when I have a family, this is what I'm going to have a baby. Right. This is what marriage looks like. This is what love is. Right. That's my little girl mentality. That's not me being taught what love is, what love looks like, how to nourish a man, how to take care of a man's heart.
Yeah.
Right. We're not taught that. We're just giving the toys and playing, and we're creating this whole world. And so, and from a mature standpoint, that's me learning that love and marriage, it's literally what we create. It's not what I had in my mind.
Right.
Because what I had in my mind, it helped to cause dysfunction in our marriage for the first 9-10 years. Right. And I wasn't willing to break from that because I'm like, no, this is what it should look like.
Right.
And so when we talked about compatibility, we didn't begin to become compatible until we started fresh. You know what? Who are you?
Yeah, what is it that you need? Starting fresh. Tell me about that. Let's walk through because people here need a refresher. So what does starting fresh look like? To those questions you were saying, who am I? Like, tell me.
It was interesting on the way over. You know, we were just talking about, how our coaching is even transitioning because couples are coming to us with some extreme issues and we're saying, listen, this is what your partner needs. But we're realizing that's putting the cart before the horse because you can't get your partner what they need when you don't even know what you need.
What you need.
And you're not feeding yourself and you're not providing your soul nourishment, right? And so starting over is looking in the mirror. Neo, you cannot have a healthy relationship without looking at yourself
first.
That's why we have, as you know, we say extreme accountability, not just accountability, but extreme. And that extreme is literally taking all the excuses, the judgments, the criticism off of your partner and putting it on yourself.
With the needle move for us. When we individually started looking in the mirror and saying, I'm a horrible spouse. Like, I don't do this well. I don't meet her needs. I'm an irritant in these areas. You know, I make life hard for her in these areas. And that's not my, and once I realized, well, that's not what I wanted to do. That's not what I intended to do, but that's what I'm doing. And once I was able to recognize that activity, that behavior, stuff started really shifting. It shifted for her first because I, in my mind, for the longest time, I was like, she ain't gonna change. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna keep dealing with this. I left once. Once I left and was about to establish a whole nother family and came and so that person revealed them truths, their true selves to me. And I was like, well, why would I go from mess to mess? So why don't I deal with the mess I know and try to make that what I wanted to be. Even after that, she had shifted and started this internal, intrinsic focus. And I was still on, she ain't gonna change. She always gonna be like this. It's always gonna be like this while she's changing. And so I believe the Spirit of God had to shake me and say, look, the very woman that you asked for, the woman that you prayed for, the woman that you was pleading with me about is showing up and you can't even recognize it. So I'm like, well, then, well, why can't I recognize it? Because I wasn't seeing me. Mm. Then I started looking at me. And when I started seeing like really the raw, ooh, nasty, ugly Shannon, it was like, ooh, I got to change. So now my focus is no longer on her. It's on me. She's focusing on her. I'm focusing on me. And that's when our relationship changed.
And that's what marriage is. Yeah. Literally, marriage is simply me focusing on Shannon. That's it. But the problem is we are operating from survival mode. Mm-hmm. We are going to protect ourselves at all costs.
Yeah.
And protecting yourself means you're not going to love freely and you're not opening up yourself completely to be loved. Mm-hmm. So the very thing that we want to experience, we're not experiencing.
It's impossible.
But then we're crying about not experiencing it, yeah. Right? But we're creating these environments to not experience it.
Mm. Wow. That's deep. Y'all talking about some stuff here. So let me ask you this. What are some of the questions that I'm asking myself when I'm looking internal to fix me first before I try to fix our relationship? What's some activities someone can do for them to get right?
So jot down everything that you hear your spouse saying about you. You're this, you're that.
Good or bad.
Okay. Because the good stuff is
relative.
A given.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and what did I learn that in geometry? You got givens, right? So, okay, the good stuff, that you don't have to worry about that stuff. Just keep doing what you're doing. But it is the bad stuff. It's the focus on the negative behavior that will actually move the needle, right? So you begin, you ask for that. You just very frank in a frank conversation. Take notes. Write down, Neil, take notes, yeah, right? Yeah. Write down those things, right? Once you list those things, now take that list away from her and really begin to say, and look, when you're trying to play basehead games with yourself, that you really a crackhead, right? Just step outside of that crackhead mentality and say, am I selfish? And just think. Like, process that. Mm-hmm. Look at how you act. Look at the things that you're doing. Am I only concerned about my needs? Am I so focused in the entrepreneurial space? Am I so focused on business that I'm missing the most important aspect of my life, which is my family?
Mm.
Do I do that? Am I so focused on the bag that I'm missing opportunity? I'm missing birthdays. I'm on my phone all the time. I can't even connect with the kids or connect with my spouse because it's not, you would think no one would blame you for trying to get the bag for your family, but at what cost? Mm. We have a Christian mindset and the Bible tells us, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Mm.
So now you on your deathbed, you got the bag. But ain't nobody around you.
Mm-hmm.
No one's there. Or if they're around you, they're around you begrudgingly. Like they're there out of obligation.
They're not
there because you mm-hmm. poured so much of yourself into them mm-hmm. that they can't help but be there.
Yeah.
And when you mm-hmm. begin to ask yourself these lists of questions and you can be honest with yourself, you first of all, you're not going to like what you see
because
mm-hmm. it's going to be ugly. Mm-hmm. And then you have the opportunity to begin to change and grow and expand into the person that you not that your spouse sees you as, but that you actually want to be.
Yeah.
You actually want to be loving. You actually want to show up for your family. You actually want to not be selfish. But now you got to get the tools in order to manage that process of growth and evolution.
And to add to that list, you need to also write down the things that you say about yourself. Right. Because one of the challenges that we had early on was I was saying all the wrong things to myself about myself. Right. It sounded good. I'm a good wife. He should be happy with what I'm doing. I don't know why he's complaining. I never cheated. I never done X, Y, and Z. This is before because we both have stepped outside of our marriage. But before that happened, I thought he should have no complaints. Right. But I wasn't seeing how I was being triggered. I wasn't seeing how the little girl was showing up when we would have arguments. And then I would stop talking for 2 weeks and just shut down, You understand? Yeah. Like, I have to be honest about the things that I'm saying to myself when I'm feeling a certain way. Mm. And ask myself, Shirley, he shared with you his heart, right? Something about you, but it was his truth. Why are you having a hard time with that? So it's like, it really is a deep journey that you have to go through. So I had to go back to realize, okay, he's triggering where I felt rejected. Mm. He's triggering where I was abandoned. Like, those things are triggering me. So now I have to say to myself, Shirley, you're being triggered. He's not saying anything wrong. He's doing exactly what he should do. He should be able to say, babe, you're doing X, Y, and Z, and it's making me feel like this. Mm-hmm. I could not take that, yeah. Right? I took that as, you don't love me. Why are you complaining about me? And Neo, many women are doing that. Many. Wow. I'm a woman, so he could talk for the men, but many women, they're coming to me with this mentality. And I'm like, so when did you start feeling like this? And it's always, well, because he's saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And so now I have to guide you. Well, are you doing? Right? Let's go to a specific example. And then when they break it down, they're like, dang, I did do that. Mm. Right? But you're trying to protect yourself to make yourself feel good. My thing is, why do you want to make yourself feel good? That is a false feeling, mm, instead of actually being good. Mm. There's a difference, right? So now I don't want to feel good. I want to be good, period. I want to be great. I want to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to operate in the deep space, right? Instead of the surface. So the deep space is, I'm going to go in. When Shannon says something that may trigger me, my work is now to go in and be like, process, Shirley, how are you feeling? Why are you feeling that? You're taking it personal. Should you take it personal? Was he attacking you? No, okay, let's deal with the facts and not the feelings.
That's good.
And here's an interesting part. What the universe will do is the universe will position you with somebody that will bring the worst out of you. Mm-hmm. Not trigger the worst in you, but bring the worst out of you. So the real bad you, that person, the universe has a way. I don't know what the people like want to call it. So, oh, this is my soulmate or whatever. But you find yourself feeling almost venomous towards this person, right? And so now you might even be saying to yourself, I don't do this. I don't act like that. Do you not? Because I can't produce something in you that ain't there.
That's right.
I can't make you respond in a way that's not something that's bubbling down or has been stored down in you. I can't make that appear out of thin air.
Yeah.
And so it is so important to do this work. It's equally as important as especially for entrepreneurs. It is, if you're thinking about, if you're using funnels or if you're using digital marketing, or if you're whatever the space that you're in, you need to know human behavior and human relationships as deeply as you know and understand, the different spaces that you reside in and the tools that you use on a day-to-day basis. And here's the interesting thing. It's about reps. So not only do I focus on Shirley's love language, but I focus on yours. Mm. And I focus on Venus, and I focus on Jeremy's, and I focus on Tracy's. So I deal with the world. Mm-hmm. Once I become aware, I deal with the world based on who they are. Because that's reps for me to deal with her, my most significant other, based off of who she is.
Mm. And Neil, as you know, more than anybody, mindset is everything, right? Yeah. And I remember, we've been together 28 years, so it's been 25 or so years. My mentor told us the root of all maladjustment is in the mind, right? And so when you change
maladjustment, would that mean minimum adjustment? Or
maladjustment is a dysfunctional adjustment.
Okay.
It's right. It all starts here. And so that's why we say perspective is everything. And so I move now with the perspective of, I am going to be my absolute best self to deal with his worst self. Mm. Because if I'm my best self to deal with his best self, that's easy.
That's very easy.
right? No, I'm going to be my best self to deal with his worst self. He's responsible to be his best self to deal with my worst self. And when I move like that, that's when we get the best out of each other. When he moves like that, we get the best out of each other. And listen, we tell people all the time, this is a journey, Neo. It does not stop. We still get under each other's skin. We still have disagreements. But because of the growth, we now understand, okay, these are the tools to use, because we don't want to experience that, what we experience over there anymore,
yeah.
Right? We understand that, babe, it's not personal.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask y'all this. Y'all both said it. Stepping out your marriage, how do you recover from that? Because I don't know if that's a recovery joint for me. It might be over with. So, I don't know. But
you'll be all right.
A lot of people is over. I don't know. You said, I don't know. How are you supposed to recover?
So let me ask you a question.
This is for the people. No, don't put my personal
right. No, I'm not putting. hypothetically speaking,
yeah,
right?
Hypothetically,
what would be the worst? What would be the worst thing that you could think if your spouse stepped out on you and was like, "I'm going elsewhere"? What is it that you're imagining that would make you say, "I can't deal with this no more"?
Somebody else having sex with my wife is over.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think I could mentally see that.
Right, right, right.
I ain't even trying to picture that in my
right, mind. Right. Mm-hmm. Now that's interesting, because it for men,
that's what stepping out means.
That is the most devastating.
100%. Mm-hmm.
So you'll have people that have work spouses or emotional affairs, right? Men don't tend. I don't have any empirical data on this, but men don't tend to get too freaked out on emotional affairs. It is like, did you have an emotional affair that led to, right, the physical, right? But a woman, a man being connected to another woman emotionally, that'll rip her apart. That'll tear her apart from the inside out, right? But at the end of the day, When Shirley stepped out, right? It's like, well, something happened that caused her to step out, to make that decision. Now, she's a grown woman.
So you're saying it's your fault?
It was definitely my fault.
Mm.
Now, when I say fault, she's a grown ass woman. She made her decisions and she's got to live with those decisions. But I definitely created the environment to help her make that decision. I coaxed her. I pushed her on to that, you know, right? Because of my behavior, because of my actions, because of my triggers, because of my inability to do that internal work.
Yep.
So we're sitting in a room and the rule is no one put on jackets. We don't put on jackets at all. We got t-shirts. We're shooting this podcast in t-shirts, right? And then it's 20 degrees outside. I open the doors. I turn the heat off. I do all of these things, creating an environment for you to want to put your jacket on. And then I sit there and say, don't you do it, right? So now the question then becomes, am I willing to move past whatever indiscretion to look to see what caused it, right? That's what I had to do. And this is what happened for me. When I found out that Shirley, and we've shared this is public knowledge, right? When I found out that Shirley stepped out on me, my first immediate question, the first thing that came, that God brought to my mind was, do not ask me for forgiveness if you are unwilling to extend forgiveness to her. Don't do it. If you're not willing to give to her the very thing that you want, then don't ask me for it. And immediately, you remember, even though she basically spit in my face, she was like, I won't say what she said, but right. When that happened, it was this exchange between us that allowed me to actually see what I did to her. And it was in that moment, but she wasn't feeling me at the point. She was like, we can get a divorce. You can do whatever. I don't care. But as she began
she said that when she stepped out?
Yeah, when she stepped out. Yeah, she was out. She was gone. She was just like, forget you. I'm not.
It's over with.
Yeah, all right. Well, whatever. Do what you need to do, bro.
Yeah.
Right? And as time went on and healing happened.
So did you step out before that or after that?
Before that.
Okay, right, so right. You did it first?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, did that mean anything? Was that what you're saying?
I'm just saying she had a reason now.
Yeah. Right.
Payback.
But see, here's the interesting thing. Yeah. It for her, I mean, she can speak for herself, but it was less about payback and more about I now want to live for me and forget him and not forget what he did, but forget him and how he's shown up in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And that was hard, man. That was so hard to see that who I was caused this. Mm-hmm. Who I was caused it. And quiet as it's kept, she speak for herself, who she was like, I was like, man, I must have made a mistake. Before I ever stepped out, I was like, I must have made a mistake. Because I ain't supposed to be getting treated like this. I ain't supposed to be experiencing this. I'm not supposed to have these. Listen, when we were dating, interesting, we were dating and we broke up. And I broke up with her because I was like, this not, and I'm a leaver. Mm-hmm. The fact that we're together for 28 years, that's a miracle. Because once I see the dysfunction, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, I just could not, I didn't, I knew how good of a human being she was and some other stuff too, but I knew how good of a human being she was. And I was like, no, we got to figure this out. But I left because it was like, nah, man, I see stuff in you that I don't like. Mm-hmm. And unless it gets fixed, I don't know how, I don't see a path forward. So that you know, the stepping out, that's the us doing that was the easy part. What it exposed was the hard part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw who I was, she saw who she was, and to each of us that was disgusting.
And so to answer your question, how do you get through it?
Yeah,
right? Because you don't get past it. You do get through it. You have to have patience because it takes time. One of the key things, which is what Shannon said, you have to see how you help to contribute to what your spouse did. And that's the hard part for people, especially when it comes to cheating. People are like, no, right? I did that. I had that mentality. And Shannon told me, he was like, you helped to create this environment. And I was like, nope, no, I did not.
That's a real arrogant statement. But,
right? Mm. And the reality is that it is on us when we do something. I can't blame him that I cheated, but he helped to create the environment. That's the work that you have to do. Mm. If you don't do that, you're not going to get through it.
No. Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Then you have to understand, without the judgment, without the criticism, all of that, you have to put that aside, because that's what you're going to naturally go to. You are going to go to, you hurt me, this is what you did to me. If you're not willing to step outside of that, you're not going to get through it. You have to understand whatever your spouse says, you have to understand that is their truth. Mm-hmm. Right? So did you marry an evil person who just wants to destroy your life, destroy you? Or did you marry somebody who got hurt and that's how they handled it?
Mm-hmm. And here, let me interject something. Mm-hmm. That part about that person being an evil person, you have to ask yourself the question, would I not want her, I had to ask myself this question, would I not want her to continue mothering my children? Mm. Like, is she that horrible of a human being that that I don't want her mothering my children? And that was, of course not. And she's the most amazing mother. So clearly something is wrong, because she is truly an amazing person. And so that caused me to look even deeper and ask the hard questions of myself. So if she was just evil, then I don't want you around my kids. I don't want you, because I don't want you influencing my kids in that way. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case at all.
So you have to focus on the problem, not the action. Mm. We can't get to solutions and conflict because we're so focused on the action of what somebody has done. Let's start focusing on the problem. Listen, conflict arises, Neil, because there is an ask that is not being met.
Yeah.
That's it. When you look at all conflict, all you have to do is just pull back and be like, okay, babe, what is it that you're asking me? Guarantee you 100%. The person will say, babe, this is what I'm asking you. This is what I need you to do. This is what you've not done.
Yeah.
Meet that ask. Why are we getting married? To say no to each other.
There should be no circumstances, unless it's immoral.
It just don't make no sense.
Illegal. Should you be saying no to your spouse? Mm. No, no. Babe, could you rub my feet? Yeah, you worked all day. Yeah, you tired.
I'm saying no.
Yeah, well, under no circumstances.
Man, I don't know about that one.
So this is the thing, right? Like, he's crazy. This is the thing.
We'll if be on shit, like feet.
You have to get
bro,
over that.
Bro, you got to eat that. You got to eat that, bro. Because it's...
No, I'm fine with it. I'm just saying in general, some people got a feet problem.
Yeah, listen, so they do. Listen. You got to work through
it. My daughter, she's 18. She's not going there no feet. Now, again, we're parents, but I don't know how to...
Hopefully, when she moves into a process of dating and courting...
I don't even want to hear about that crap.
Right, well, yeah. When she does, right? When she does start courting, she will know that. And hopefully she'll know that. And in the process of investigation and getting to know each other, you make that be known. Like, listen, so if you want your feet, mm-hmm. if your feet mm-hmm. is in the equation,
yeah.
forget it.
Yeah.
So then the guy can hopefully be honest and say, you know something, I do like my feet. We're not meant
for
each
other. It's like cooking. My wife, I will never cook ever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Can you will cook never for cook? Me?
No. Never?
Never. Why would I cook?
Neo,
just want to buy the food or I'm going to pay somebody to cook.
Right. Okay.
Me personally.
Right. You don't enjoy cooking.
I could whip up some cheese eggs and some waffles. That's all I got in my
That's all that's in the bag.
That's all I got
but
in
still,
my skills.
You set. Didn't say no, though. You understand? Yeah. Like, no.
My wife wouldn't even ask.
Right,
though.
Right.
That's crazy. My wife don't ask for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Really. Yeah.
Like, people don't. My wife probably asked me for, like, material things since I've known her,
mm-hmm.
I can't count on two hands. I'm talking about as little as can you get my hair done. Mm-hmm. I can't count. Mm, since wow. I've been with her, I can't even count nothing really.
Wow.
Yeah, she wow. just don't. She just.
Yeah.
My wife different, man.
Yeah, like, she's wow. different.
I don't know. My wife different breed or something like that.
Yeah.
But not breed. That sounds.
No, we understood what we understood what you were saying.
Yeah, I make sure on the show. But
let me just say this yeah. because a lot of people, because when I talk to women and I say that to them, they really have a problem with that. Like, I can't. Why shouldn't I say no? Why can't I say no? Right? And it's not like you're beholding to him
like
as a slave.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're beholding to him as his lover, as her lover. We are beholden to each other, period. Mm. And if Shannon asks something of me, that means he needs or wants it.
Yeah.
Period.
Why would you want to say no? I don't get that.
Like, right? And so this
is
the
thing. If
you
love this person.
If you love this person.
And you're spending the rest of your life with him, what would be the purpose of the no?
So if there is a no, because sometimes there's a no, like, let's be realistic, right? I'll be like, babe, I can't do that now, but. Mm-hmm. Right? So we'll put it on the back burner.
Now, there's some definite no's between Shirley and
yes.
I, right? There's some definite, right?
You just say you can't never say
no. I'm but there, but she, like, there, I but I see it now. I know not to even ask for certain things.
Yeah.
Because I know it's that a it's no. a definite no.
Right.
And not that I want the thing, trying to be politically correct. Not that I want the thing, but let's say I wanted to try the thing.
Yeah.
It's a definite no.
Right.
So just leave it alone, Shan.
What
don't even bother to ask.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So y'all say I both stepped out. In my mind, why would I listen to y'all about helping me become better? And y'all messed up before. Well, before I work with y'all, if y'all would have told me that, I wouldn't have worked with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without, oh yeah, I'm about to set you up. You know, Jeremy set us
right,
up,
right,
so
right,
I take
right.
his word like gold. But
right, right.
If it wasn't y'all, well, let me check them out. Oh yeah, you y'all both you cheated on your husband. I'm out of here.
Right.
From the gun bus.
Right.
So why? What makes? Tell me about that.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Right. Trap.
Trap. Yeah.
Wall Street trap.
Yeah.
Right. Trap. Would you take financial advice from him?
Yes.
How many times do you think he blew up an account?
I don't know. I'm sure he blew up.
He actually became, right? Yeah. How many times have you had an unsuccessful funnel?
A lot.
Should I listen to you about funnels? You damn right. I should.
Right.
Because the proof, you didn't stop. You kept going. You persevered. You stuck through
you
it.
You learned the tools. Kept pushing.
You got away with words, man.
Well, brother, this is what I do.
Communicator. You going to flip the switch.
This is what I do, right? So yeah, we failed, right? But we failed forward, right? We learned from the mistakes that we made, and we chose to, now, you know, it's you know, to take that same question, would you want to learn from someone who hadn't been through nothing?
Right.
If the only thing that we had been through was, you know, we had our lights off once, you know, what could you really learn from us?
Yeah.
Right. And maybe it's good. I could tell you, there is one, it's a prayer line that I'm on. Of men that we call in the morning. It's been on for years. ET started it.
They still do that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Do Toby still be on there?
No, Toby hadn't been on in a while.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm aware of.
Toby
was on it though.
Superstar now.
Right.
He's out of here.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He's still on there?
He come on from time to time.
Yeah, I remember that. That was years ago. Remember that.
He come on from time to time. We were listening to it on the way here.
Yeah.
I've had the privilege to help hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world open up their own profitable event spaces utilizing my signature formula. Number one, how to find the space. Number two, how to fund the space and how to automate the space. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia now living for 2 years. My spaces are still in Philadelphia operating, doing extremely well because we use the same exact formula that I break down, right? If you're interested in learning how we can help you, I want you to go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch a training or book a call with our team to see if you are a good fit. Again, this is for you specifically if you're looking for other ways to leverage your money and turn that into other streams of income, right? I don't believe there's a better time than right now for you to get tapped into the information in the game that can help you. So again, go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch the training or book a call with our team to see if you're a good fit for this opportunity. Let's go.
Right. And let me say this. This is so interesting that you said you would not have worked with us.
100%.
Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class.
Oh, right. I know what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's so interesting is because people think infidelity is just the worst thing that can happen, right?
I don't know if there's anything worse.
Well,
no, it could be worse.
Cheating happens in many forms. It's not just because I slept with somebody else, and that's the misnomer. Right? That's the problem people think. We have many couples that come to us that have not experienced affairs and are devastated, right? When you don't give your spouse what it is that they are asking for, you're really cheating them out of something.
Mm.
You're taking something away. When I was with somebody else sexually, I took away from him and gave to somebody else. Why is that worse than me respecting another man and disrespecting you? Mm. Like, seriously, right? So we have so many people who are experiencing their spouses being kind and respectful and loving and caring. I'll serve my pastor and I'll serve this person, that person. But at home, completely disrespecting and neglecting me.
Mm.
So when we think about cheating, like, this is a broad thing. It's not just this physical act, but that's what we focus on.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? That's what this was God was saying, because he said, I'm a jealous God, right? So when you put anything in the place of where your spouse is supposed to be, mm-hmm. that is a form of infidelity. That's a form of mm-hmm. cheating. Mm-hmm. What I was going to say was, there was a brother on the prayer line who came to us for coaching, but he told his wife that we had both experienced infidelity. Mm-hmm. And she was unequivocally, mm-hmm. no, I cannot. And then to this day, they still have problems and they still trying to figure it out. And they could have had the help they needed long time ago. Mm. That's like saying, I'm not going to a doctor that ever flunked a class. I'm not going to a doctor who have, like, that is, and I understand your point, and I understand the seriousness of that.
So that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. If it wasn't a referral and I heard that.
Right, right.
It's over with.
Right.
Period.
Right, right.
And even with that analogy, nah, I'm out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Only because you don't know. That's why I only really deal with referrals mm-hmm. on certain points.
Mm-hmm. But see, mm-hmm. we this is why we have to go to the root. The root of every dysfunction, it is a character issue.
Yeah.
Right. So I could have not cheated. I still would have had that character issue. It would have come out in another way, Neo.
Yeah.
Right? Which it was. That's right. That's one of Shannon's issues with me. I was having character flaws and I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, you know, having great relationships, you really have to check your character mm-hmm. because your people will listen. I was one of those people who said I have never cheated on a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Now I'm loyal. And then I get in my marriage and then 7-8 years later, here I am.
Mm.
Right. So you can't say that the right circumstance, the right situation, the right dynamics, you will find yourself doing something that you thought you would never ever do.
Yeah. That's good. Let me ask y'all this.
Scary.
Talk me through tell me the test that people need to take before we even get this thing going anymore. So right now, what I'm doing, and I guess this might have stemmed from what I learned from you, like what I'm now doing, like, when people come work with you, take this DIS assessment, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. see your strengths, see your weaknesses, because you can't really lie on it. Well, you can lie, but mm-hmm. you can just make up some stuff. But so you know the strengths, you know the weaknesses, you know how they move based on mm-hmm. reading that, like
the data.
Break down what the DDI, break down what those mean, right? Because some people can understand. I don't know if you can, but you know, mm-hmm. they can understand where they fall in line with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like, all right, I know where they at. I know what makes sense. This may work or this may don't work. Like, we doing something else is called a predictive index test mm-hmm. that we're doing that takes a few questions, but it tells strengths, weaknesses, and are for assistant. I need an assistant, but you got to be on. I almost need you. You on top of, you ain't missing a beat with mm-hmm. this. You are obsessed mm-hmm. with. You got to be.
Yeah.
I don't have no order.
Mm-hmm.
My crap last minute, like things everywhere. I need you to come organize my entire life, make sure everything is.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot be on this disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You gotta be around. You almost gotta be OCD.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you the opposite, if you the same as me, you can't be my assistant.
Mm-hmm.
That won't work.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm already like that. So understanding those things now, like, has been huge for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you can actually see how somebody is without us even getting started.
Yeah. So let's look at it, right? So you have four quadrants: the D, the I, the S, and the C. Mm-hmm. D's are demanding, doers, get things done.
That's me.
No hands, no qualms. No, it's going to get done, right? I's are very engaging, interactive. They are the life of the party. They're going to turn it up. They're going to be, you know, if when the I arrives at the party, that's when the party starts, right? The S is this one right here. Supportive, stable. They enjoy the status quo. They don't like a whole lot of change, but they will be there to support and get whatever it is and do whatever it is that needs to be done. And then you got the C's, cautious, calculating, very strategic. Systems are very important, right? And so now let's say as a CEO, you understand who you are. You understand how your business is set up. Now you have to look at those quadrants and say, what is the makeup of the human being that I need in my life to be able to operate as my assistant? You need somebody that's going to get some things done,
mm-hmm.
right? No excuses.
Yeah, you don't want to hear no excuses.
And you need them to be organized.
Yeah,
no excuses. You don't really need them to be like, Neil, do you need anything? How can I support you? Yeah.
No, I need you to already know what I need.
Right. And you don't need them to you don't need them to come in and light it up. Hey, Neil, how you doing? It's a party. You don't need that at all, right? Knowing that allows you to assess people in a way, look at where they fall in the quadrant, and already weed people out based off of what you already know you need. If you can do that, you will distill the vetting process down to a small sample size of people and be able to choose from them. And then you can even begin to drill down even further to see, okay, the D is where it needs to be. The C is where it needs to be, but I do need a little S in them. And I don't need them talking crazy to whoever is, because they're going to be speaking for me in cases. So I need you to at least be engaging, right? So now I know I need a solid C, D combo with a little I and a little S.
Mm-hmm.
That don't need to be on the floor for you. That doesn't need to be you. Yeah. That needs to be a little higher. So now I know I'm getting the person that's going to fit me holistically as my executive assistant.
Mm. Now let's talk about this in relationships though.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause that's what the people hear. Like how do you, cause you said me and my wife based on, and we aren't compatible based on
the assessment.
The assessment.
You guys are actually the unicorn. So the diagonal, if you look at the quadrants and you have a D and I, an S and a C, the D and the S are diagonal of each other, and the I and the C are diagonal of each other. Mm-hmm. You are a DI, she is an SC.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't make relationship impossible. It just makes it challenging mm-hmm. if you're not willing to take into account the wiring and respond mm-hmm. accordingly, mm-hmm. right? But typically, you don't. They call people that possess, let's say, so I used to be, that's another point. I used to be an IC blend. That's a diagonal, right? I would be considered a unicorn because how can an outgoing people-oriented person and a reserved task-oriented person be in the same body? And that's very, very difficult. And so sometimes I'm out in the party at one of your birthday parties. I was out. I was with the Philly crew dancing, mm-hmm. but then I was in the corner chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point I had enough. So it was mm-hmm. time for me to leave.
Yeah.
How does that person reside? How do you deal with that person? Well, you just got to understand that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So at some point in time, you know, if I come to an event that you're having, at some point in time, Shane's going to have enough and he's going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take that personal. Mm-hmm. I don't be like, oh man, you don't even want to hang out with me. You don't want to.
Because that's her makeup.
That's
so you don't try to fix. So when is there ever a thing that you do want to improve areas?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
When is that?
It is when the person is, so there are negative aspects and positive aspects and negative aspects of each quadrant. You want to operate on the positive side as opposed to the negative side.
Mm-hmm.
When a person is primarily operating on the negative side, that needs to be fixed. Those are blind spots that need to be considered. And you got to really, okay, why am I like that? That's a person that's unhealed. So you want a person in those quadrants to be a healed person in those quadrants, not an unhealed person. Because an unhealed person will wreak havoc in their quadrant in your life.
And listen, that's like, you know, when people say, this is just who I am. You can't operate like that, thinking you're going to have a healthy relationship, because sometimes who we are, it is disrupting anything that can be healthy. So that's when you know, okay, this is how I am, this is how I'm wired. But that aspect of myself, I need to make an adjustment,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like with a D personality,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people call you guys bullies, you're cold, you're mean. Right. But really, you're just direct. And so
I'm about direct as I people like on social media, is there like I'm like speaker, like I'm super clean. I'm clean generally, but I'm being real with people now. Like I just gotta listen. I can't be sugarcoating stuff because it ain't gonna help you or me.
Right.
Like, we got, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And how do you balance that though?
Right. Well, that's your spouse being able to say, okay, that's who they are. See, a lot of times we're taking it personal, Neo, right? I'm like, why are you being so cold? And you're like, I'm not. I'm just being direct. I'm just speaking my truth. And so balancing that is being able for me to say, okay, that's who my spouse is. But then for my spouse to say, let me pull back some and not be so direct where I come off cold to my spouse. So both of us have to do the work. Both of us have to manage how we are allowing our spouse to experience us.
Yeah.
So a D can show up as direct or as rude, right? Direct, you're operating positively. Rude, you're still being direct, but you're operating negatively.
Example.
Right? If I say your breath stink, man.
Yeah.
Like, right? Instead of me like, hey man, you know, handing you a piece of gum or something. I'm being direct. You know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
You humming right now.
Yeah.
Here, right? But I can say, yo, dude, your breath be stinking.
Yeah.
Which would show up better for people? So I'm still accomplishing the goal of bringing you to the awareness of your halitosis.
Yeah.
But now I've preserved your humanity, right? Mm-hmm. I have not made you feel less than.
Yeah.
And if you can find a place to do that, like, and then you got to understand we change. 2-3 years. When you first met me, I was an IC blend. Now I'm a CD blend. I'm doing stuff. I'm getting stuff done on that. Almost this guy, you know, she got a little tingle down there. You know what I'm saying? Because she like, well, you executing. You kind of executing, right? You just, and so one of the things, I'm going to say this. You definitely want a CD blend in your working for you, right? The reason why I'm going to say that is because not only they're going to get things done, they're going to get things done right. Right? So a solid D whose C is nowhere in the picture will get things done, but you're going to find errors, right? The book got published, but it's all kind of typos in it. It's all kind of, I put it out, But if you had that C combo in it, now you're still going to get out, but now you're going to make sure that
if I'm doing it, it's going to definitely have errors in it. 1,000. But no, that's why you got to have that person.
You got to have that person. So in relationships, when you have an entrepreneurial couple, I knew based off of some of the frustration I was causing for Shirley, because I was a solid C. I'm always evaluating, weighing, should we, I don't know. And I'm looking and I'm keeping the process from moving forward.
Yeah.
And I knew at some point in time that had to change. And some things came into my purview that caused me to shift. And that shift she's seeing is like, I like this. Keep doing this. That's one of the reasons why she'll smile at me now, because she's like, okay, I'm taking an executive coaching certification. And there was some reading I had to do. And it was one particular book. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's done. She's like, it's done now? I was like, yeah, it's done. I'm on to the next. I'm blah, blah, blah. Oh, I got my program director will send out, okay, we need this, 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 and this. I'm on their heads, Neo. I'm very Neo-esque in my, like, what we doing? Where we going? What time is it supposed to be there? I haven't gotten this yet. You said you was going to send this. You hadn't, but I'm not that. I'm being aggressive now. But I'm being real Philly right now, but not, right? But you get my point.
Yeah.
It's like, now I'm in a different space and time because I need to move different. And so you should assess probably every 2 to 3 years.
I like that.
Because you're going to move different. And if you're not shifting, if nothing is shifting in your quadrants, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The big thing is, are you aware of your blind spots and are you able to make the adjustments?
Yeah.
And as a spouse, when they shift, you have to shift too.
Yeah.
Or else that's really going to cause problems.
Because you used to be like this.
Right.
And now this change is happening. So why are we doing it different now? We're doing it different because I'm different.
I'm different because I'm changing.
Yeah. You're always.
Let me ask you this question. So what am I doing? I didn't do no premarital, nothing. Just mm-hmm. jump. What do people need to be doing before they go get married to get see if this even makes sense? Because a lot of marriages ending quick. Like, you know what? She wasn't the right person to marry. Mm-hmm. He wasn't mm-hmm. the right person. But how do it before I even get that far? What are some activities that y'all got y'all people doing to check compatibility, make sure this makes sense? Like even down to the finances, like, mm-hmm. do I post a note before what's all your debt you got?
Yes.
Like, what's your credit score?
You
like,
should know all of that.
Like, I need to know all of that before I get.
Mm-hmm. How do you, what's your relationship like with
money?
Do
I need to know what's in your bank account? Like
all of that.
Let's talk, walk me through the entire thing right now. I need to know. Well, I don't know. It's over now. But walk me mm-hmm. through for somebody about the.
So you purchased several houses.
Yeah.
Right. Some you, mostly mortgages.
Yeah.
Mostly mortgages. Right. They went all. I don't want to be crass, but they went all the way up your butt looking for stuff. Credit.
No. Look, they asked for a lot of information.
Right. All right. Pause. Right. Right. So.
Neo.
This guy. Well, this guy, man.
Right. They went so they had a microscope in your life.
Yeah.
You had to give them so much information.
Yeah.
Just to buy a house.
That's a fact. Too much information.
Right? So now you're making a major decision like a marriage and you have no data. Mm. You don't know what your risk management is. You don't know how to set your risk management up. You don't know. You don't have no insurance. You don't have anything to help gauge you moving forward with this person who's supposed to be for the rest of your life. Mm. And so we are proponents of gathering data.
Mm, how do I do it?
Every kind of assessment. You need to get a DISC assessment. You need to take the love language test. You need mm-hmm. to understand, and there's no test for this at all, but you need to understand where your significant other's energy comes from. Are they introverted or extroverted? Where do they need to be recharged? You need to know that.
Y'all should create a test like that.
Well, we actually have a framework called mm-hmm. the triangle mm. that takes into account basically, well, it's a square now, but it takes into account all of these things. So if you think about it, the triangle offense won probably 12 championships mm-hmm. with Phil Jackson, right? With all of the teams that he coached for. That the understanding of that dynamic basketball offense has helped us to change our lives, and we coached you through the triangle, mm-hmm. right? So that's understanding where your DISC assessment, your love languages, and your version, what we call your version, where your energy flows, right? You got to know where those things are at all times. You got to know where those things, Sylvina needs to know where you are in your DISC assessment, your love languages, and your version every moment of every day.
And my wife, good. She knows. She like. Mm-hmm. She pretty much know mm-hmm. stuff. She know about me and our kids. I'm like, I don't know how she be knowing this mm-hmm. stuff.
Cause she even paid attention.
She attentive.
She's a student.
She's Steve Kerr. Yeah. She on the court knowing. Okay, when he move over here, this gonna mm-hmm. happen, mm-hmm. and he's supposed to make a backside cut. Yeah. So I know that that cut gonna be there, and he gonna flash mm-hmm. because she knows the offense, right? Most people are going through life once.
Like your son, he about to go and he going to fall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She be spot. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. So most of
told
us are living.
Get him.
Most mm-hmm. of us are living with no strategy.
Yeah.
We living and mm-hmm. we entering into relationships with equally less strategy.
And that's what Shannon just said is so important. Right. I encourage. I talk to a lot of ladies, a lot of females all every day. And a lot of them want to get married. And one of the things I ask them is, well, what are you looking for? And really a lot of them keep it very basic. So you're having problems in your marriage because you didn't even know what you wanted, or you were not honest about what you wanted. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I just encourage people, those who are looking to get married, be honest about, I don't care how surface it sounds, because that's in you. That the thing that you want, right? If you want somebody who's going to help you to have a comfortable lifestyle, you need to write that down, mm-hmm. period. And you need to go down the road of making sure that whoever you marry, that person can do that, whatever it is. And we have to stop being ashamed of some of the things that we want from a, from somebody. But listen, it's been demonized though. All women want is money. Y'all, money is important. That is a very important part of life. Mm-hmm. And no, it's not all we want. But when you understand what security means to a woman, then you can be understand, okay, that's why money is focused. That's why finances is a focus for women. Because you're taking us from our father or from us having to take care of ourselves. Now we have to literally rely on you. Even if I have my own job, I worked, but I still, this is my husband, right? And so I relied on him. So yes, it is important. How are you spending your time? How are you bringing in finances, mm-hmm. right? And so you have to, you know, listen, you have to be able to do this, Neo. Put everything you want, but then some things that you're willing to bend on, right? So I might want somebody who's over 6 feet and all this.
They say, I think I heard 6 foot, six figures, six, and there's another six. I forgot.
Yeah. Six or six. Yeah.
What's the
other six inches? In your pants. Oh, in your pants.
Oh. I know.
I didn't know. Well, I was trying to help. I didn't know. I was trying to help.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's not it. Right. Okay. No, that is it.
Is it? Okay.
That is it. Right. But
what y'all got me talking about?
We're talking about relationships.
But listen, this is why, right? When we're talking to you entrepreneurs, and when we first started, you talk about the women who are having challenges or men who have a challenge, your spouse is an entrepreneur and you know, whatever, what's your purpose? Mm. Like if you are not working towards the same purpose and goal, you are going to have challenges, mm-hmm. right? And so when you're dating, you need to find somebody who y'all are on the same mission. We're both focused on this, right? You have your things. I have my things that I'm interested in. But holistically, our purpose, we're aligned in purpose, right? So
when do you start asking these questions, though? Because it's kind of intrusive. What's your credit, homie? What's your how much you make? What's your salary? Like,
immediately.
Not immediately, right?
When you go into the car dealership, immediately you're filling out the application.
First date.
No, not first date. But look, here's the crazy part. Mm-hmm. After the first, maybe second date, folks sleeping with each other.
Yeah.
So how you enter into the most intimate space?
Because you shouldn't be sleeping with each other.
Right. so now you enter into the most intimate space. You're becoming a crackhead. And you don't even understand.
Yeah, you crazy.
You're becoming a crack because it's designed to keep you together. You're supposed to be addicted to your spouse, right? Yeah. But now you're in a space that you can't even ask certain questions.
And you don't got the data yet.
And you still don't have the data. So now you're ignoring the obvious. So
what's
two, 3 months in, you find out that his credit score is a 420. But now the sex is so good, you don't want to let that go. Mm-hmm. So I'll work with him and try to help him work out his his credit score up. Now you doing more work while you dating. You ain't supposed to be doing that work. You're supposed to be having fun, getting to know each other, right? So when I met this is one of the things that helped cause problems for us because she was not healed, right? As when we met, we hadn't had sex. Definitely we hadn't had sex, but early on into our dating process, I was like, listen, I got horrible credit. I don't have a good relationship with money. I just ran down. I watch porn too much. I just ran it down because I wanted to give her the opportunity to say, now I can't deal with this. Mm.
You know what my man Doug did? Shout out Doug. He had his lady come. As soon as he just let her know, I'm sleeping in the garage. Like from the rip, like, yo, I'm sleeping in the garage. And he was sleeping in the garage because he wanted to. Like, bro, I'm stacking right now.
Right.
I'm sleeping in the garage. And the first date, I think Larissa came, but she didn't want to go look because it might have would have. Right. This might be too much, though.
Right, right, right.
But they happy ever after.
Oh, they yes. happy. Very yeah, happy. Yeah, yes. You know what I mean? Very happy.
Yeah. But he let her know what it was. Right. Like, I'm stacking this bread, but I'm going to be in this garage.
But yeah, no, stuff
for
like
the next
that.
Couple years.
Right. You should definitely be honest from the door. This is my suggestion, just because. You know, what Shannon said would be great, but we're living in a real world and the mentality of people, they're not going to be able to handle that. They're automatically going to think you're not being business minded. You're not being focused on the future.
They're going to just like Neo was like, oh, I wouldn't. As soon as I hear that, it's a wrap.
They're going to be like, you're not focused on the future. You're just trying to see what I got to, so you can know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Right. So first thing is when you're dating, like y'all, like stop making sex so deep. Right. And that's in a wounded mentality. You're going to feel like you got to have sex. You can't just wait. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the first thing. Stop getting sex in the way so that we can get to know each other. And if we get to the point where it's like, I think I might want to take this to the next step. Yeah. Then you start asking these questions.
Yeah. And,
and stop being afraid to have the conversations. That's why we getting into marriage. And then I find out your credit is horrible. Mm. You don't have repossessions. Mm. You don't have no money in the bank account.
We can't get a credit. We can't get on this apartment together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got to sneak in there.
Can't
get a second key fob.
Right. Yes.
Right. You all jacked up. And then you could have got all this from the beginning.
You could have known.
They say they created a new dating app that gets your credit score now.
Oh wow.
So now
it's changing the credit. We're not just swiping.
Yeah. Got a 520.
That's crazy.
Before you even get to the picture, this is the score. That's crazy. Yeah. But I see that though. But we gotta.
That would be helpful though.
It actually would from a development standpoint. It is going to be important. People hear us say, don't have sex, right? Don't make sex that important. But this is what's happening with sex. Because of how we are made, you have neurochemical processes that are going on that cause you to be bonded to someone.
Yes.
And so what sex does is it makes it almost impossible. Pull yourself away from someone who you're bonded to. That's why people start tripping. You ever, let me speak for myself. I won't ask you no questions, right? But when I was single, you could tell when I got sexually active sooner, how difficult it was that when something showed up that was like a deal breaker for me, how difficult it was to pull away from that situation. Mm-hmm. Because it's just you got oxytocin, you got the dopamine response that's happening. That's why I say crackhead. Dopamine is the body's morphine, or body's heroin, rather, right? And so when you are having sexual intercourse, you're having constant hits of this dopamine. But after that, and after another not so relevant, well, equally relevant, but we're not going to talk about it, neurochemical process, then you have oxytocin. Oxytocin, this is when women are breastfeeding children. This is when you see some of the highest upticks of oxytocin being released in the mother and in the child, bonding them together, right? But it also happens, my hands are cold, babe. It also happens through physical touch, skin to skin touch. You have oxytocin being released. It's the bonding chemical, neurochemical. So now you're wondering why I feel so close to, it's not, if we never hugged, we wouldn't feel as we're cool, but we're not close. Mm-hmm. We don't touch each other. We don't hardly. But I bet you, with all the circle, y'all, when y'all greet each other, it's with a hug. It's like, what's up, bro? It's with a hug, y'all. You know, right? It's appropriate.
Shake,
right? And so there's this bonding that's going on that makes y'all tight. And there's people on the outside of that circle looking like, I wish I could be in that circle, but they never shake your hand. They never touch you. You never bond with them. You never get that feeling of closeness.
Yeah.
And so they're never going to be a part of that circle. Mm-hmm. Pitch period. So why put yourself in that position? Instead, put it off. you know, sexual compatibility is also a, there's a an assessment for that. Mm-hmm. It's called the erotic blueprint theory.
Wow, they got an assessment for that,
right? Yeah, yep. That's why that's we crazy. Went from a triangle to a square, right? So it helps you to understand how you're wired from a sex and mm-hmm. sexual intimacy standpoint. So wow. you got some people. Real quick example: I am a sexual. So a sexual is a person that sees sex in the traditional sense: naked bodies, intercourse. Orgasm. That's it, right? Shirley is a sensual. Her senses help to guide whether she feels fulfilled from a sex and sexual intimacy standpoint, right? I'm just finding this out. And I'm wondering, I used to complain for years. We don't have sex enough. We don't have this. But I was not setting the mood. I was not burning no scents. I was for years I didn't wear cologne. I just deodorant and soap. That was it. I started getting oils because it helped to heighten her senses. Right. I was wondering why when we went on vacation that sex flowed more freely. One of the reasons why is because the environment was the bed was made. You came, it was a nice hotel room. We were on the beach, blah, blah, blah. It was like, man, you're just throwing it around here. And then we go back to the house where I got my clothes on the floor and I, you know, I ain't got no smell good happening in the house. And I'm wondering why
I take my clothes off. I'm just throwing them on the floor.
Right. And you jacking your whole situation. You know what I'm saying? So. It is this understanding how we are wired holistically and gathering that data.
Yeah.
We're writing a book about it, right? To really gather now you're making decisions based on the data, not on your feelings.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Feelings are secondary.
You see how
data is primary.
This is important. Mm-hmm. You will never learn any of this stuff though. Yeah.
No, they didn't.
It's like 5-6 tests you got to take right now. Yeah. So you can because I'm on this journey to actually learning myself right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like Maddie J put together this thing is almost like a life. Everything going to be documented. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm working on. I'm talking about everything, all my dislikes, all my life. So here's another thing. When you come work with me, here's a sheet. This is Neo right here. Here's a whole sheet on him. Right. Mm-hmm. Pet peeves, things he loves, things he hates. Mm-hmm. Here's what he eat. Mm-hmm. Here's what he don't eat.
Yeah.
My nanny, when she cooked in the morning, like she is very specific. It's make my egg, waffles. You cut four, you cut them in four, you put them in a toaster, you heat the syrup, and she give it to me just how.
Right. Just how you like it.
There you
every
go.
Day. Or
and
not
you,
whenever
and your
she
nanny makes. Not getting fired for that reason.
It's just. I'm very when I want stuff a certain way every time. Mm-hmm. Don't even when I figure I had my dude, shout out Mr. Vegan. This dude food phenomenal.
Right.
Y'all gotta try it. Mr. Vegan. Shout this dude out. This dude make this fire vegan food.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, he's giving it to me the same way. One day he changed the macaroni. I hit him, bro, what happened? Mm-hmm. I thought you wanted to try it a different way. No. When I find something that works, don't change nothing.
Don't change nothing.
Don't experiment with me.
Right. Don't do it.
But that's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now somebody gonna know that now.
Right. Yes.
My mom knows exactly how I am. My wife knows that. Mm-hmm. But anybody, here you go, bro.
Right.
You already got this joint. Right. You ain't got a guess.
Right. Yep. You took the guesswork out. And what it'll do is it'll make now the process of you working together it'll speed up that process so much more because you don't have to ask those questions.
Then I'm like, do you got one of these?
Right.
Like somebody said who worked with us. She said, listen, my last family I had, this is my nanny too. She's like, yo, the last family I had, they yell. I don't yell at nobody anyway, but they yelled at me. And like, that's like my pet peeve. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's what I don't yell anyway, but. Yeah. I don't even have really disagreements, but I'll talk. We talk about things.
Yes.
It ain't going because guess what? She out.
That's right.
He needs somebody to help him. Watch
you know that. You know that from the front end. So you know, even when you escalating your tone, you're like, back your tone down.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now
because it was told.
Right.
Yes.
So I think that's important. You come in
very
all these what you like, what you don't like.
That's right.
Some pet peeves. I'm gonna start asking people that work with me. Yo, tell me what's your
No, that's good.
But Neo, here's the crazy part. The crazy part is we do that with sex. What position you like? Ooh, what how you like it?
Yeah.
What? We'll do all of that with sex, but with no other area do we do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are we so focused on putting the cart before the horse?
Yeah.
And listen, we wonder why we're not successful.
Yeah,
right?
God knew what he was talking about with the whole, you know, having sex before marriage.
It's not
God's
a punishment.
God's not trying to keep nothing good from us. He's saying you can't operate in wisdom when you do that.
When you're a crackhead. You can't do it.
When you're a crackhead.
Yeah. You on a hair on. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't.
So, yeah.
This has been a good show. I mean, you know, this double the time we normally go.
We need to make this a reoccurring thing, brother.
Yeah. People like the relationship stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
But I wanted to give, I think we left people with a framework on how to get started in terms of tests you need to take. That the sex test, that's something new.
Yeah.
To me, anyway. I never heard about it. But it's just so many things in the relationship building. I'm trying to become a better relationship person, not just with my wife, but with everybody.
Yes.
So learning more and more of these things is very helpful to me. Mm-hmm. So appreciate y'all coming on. Let the people know how they could connect with you all.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for being on the show.
Baby, you want to let them know where the people?
Yep, you guys connect with us on Instagram at Marriage Inc. at Marriage Inc. YouTube, My Marriage Is Dope Podcast.
Instagram. So y'all, man, please definitely tap in with them. Thank y'all for tuning in with this episode. We'll see you on the next one. Let's go.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below, share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neo DeViso, same exact name on Twitter, same exact name on TikTok, and follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.